This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Well, Epiphany's come and gone.
And it's time to get back to real life.
That's right, because if you listen to some of our previous holiday era podcasts, you know that we like to keep things going until January 6th, but that's gone. That's in the rearview mirror, and that means it's time to get back to work.
Time to sober up.
Sober up, yes.
Straighten up, everything gets straight.
And do what we normally do, which is homeschool our children. And all the rest of that stuff.
And work from home and all that other stuff.
Right.
You know, it really is, it's hard, Hal. Mm. It's hard, I think, for anybody coming off of a big, long holiday.
Yeah.
And buckling down to the getting back to work again.
You know, I remember we had the opportunity back years and years ago when sailing ships still plied the seas. We actually got to go to Europe for a month. We saved up all of our leave time when I was in the Air Force for the better part of a year. And then we took a whole month and we went to Europe. And I remember when we came back, it took me about a week before I could even get my head focused. I mean, yeah. I'm sitting there at my desk and I'm going through the mail and stuff that had piled up while I was gone. But it took me at least 5 days in the office before I could even start to think about what I was there for.
Well, I think we really are creatures of habit.
Uh-huh.
You know, we get in a habit of way of doing things, of thinking, and when we get in the habit of not thinking about our work, it's hard to get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that working from home or homeschooling makes that even harder.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in the same environment that we were last week. You know, the decorations are gone now, but it's still our house, still the same people every morning. The same computer in my lap, but now I've got to focus. I've got to get some work done.
And in a way, I think that this time at the start of the year may be the hardest way to do it, because I know, you know, we take time off of vacations and stuff during the year. We travel for different reasons and such, but it's especially hard when you've had all of the run-up to Christmas and the decoration and the change in hours and diet and everything else, and it's just this long party that goes on through the holidays, and then you put it all in a box and you look at the gray weather outside.
Happy New Year.
This is the time for contrition and repentance and
resolution
of the things that you did badly last year. And you know, it's not a real encouraging thing to say, "Woo, we're going to hit the ground running now." You know, hooray.
Let's start our diet.
There's a good reason some state organizations have like midwinter events to encourage homeschool moms in particular to say, hey, you know, remember all that enthusiasm back in September? No, well, trust us, it was there. Let's see if we can get some back. But okay, so here we are. It's January. We're starting over. Yes, I know.
It's gray.
We've even got snow on the ground here in North Carolina, if you can believe that.
And snow in North Carolina means a holiday.
Well, yeah, but it's mostly frozen slush now, so that holiday's behind us too, just about. So, okay, so let's talk about this. How do you get focused, get back on track, get back to work, and maybe even enjoy it a little bit, maybe even take some encouragement out of it?
Well, you know, I think what helps me, Hal, is to just say, okay, it's a brand new start, because invariably, when we look at starting back, we realize we're behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we're not where we want to be, that we didn't do what we were supposed to do in early December.
Yeah.
Part of that is just what we're doing, because it's so busy shipping out orders and things in December that school doesn't get as much attention as it needs to.
But, you know, it doesn't have to be a business thing, because, you know, lots of churches have big festivals. They do big theater type productions during the holidays.
Yeah, that's true. We have friends that are in community theater. And
Christmas concerts and all sorts of different things going on. I think everybody has their schedule disrupted in December.
And it's really easy to dread starting again, because you're going to have to face the facts about where you are. And so for me, it helps to sit down and say, okay, to remember why I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Take a little bit of time. Talk to your kids about why you're doing school and what's mm-hmm. important about it and the benefits of it.
Yeah.
And then to say, okay, look, I know there are a lot of reasons we're not where we ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about those. We're not going to get into recriminations and, you know,
yeah.
it was too hard and we were sick and all that stuff and excuses. And mm-hmm. we're not going to rehash all that.
Well, the rule in golf is you play the ball where it lies.
Yes.
The ball is where it is. You can't go back and move it. So
right.
say, okay, where are we now and what do we need to do to get from here to our destination?
Yes.
And so we did that, right? We had that discussion today, yeah?
Well, that's what we talked about with our kids today and said, okay, I told everybody, I said, I want you to bring me your books.
Mm-hmm.
And for the older ones, I said, write down exactly what lesson you're on and how many total lessons are in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Or what chapter you're on, how many total chapters are in the book.
Yeah.
And one of them came and he was very embarrassed. He's, oh, Mama, and he started going into the excuses. I said, whoa. I said, do you really want to go there? Because I'm willing to start right where we are right this minute.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go there? Do you want to talk about how we got here? Because I've got a lot to say about how we got here.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to just overlook that and start now. Do you really want to go there?
Mm-hmm.
And he thought about it and he said, a minute, and he said, no, I don't want to go there.
Let's tee up, play the ball where it lies, and go
yes.
forward from here. Yeah.
And you know, the amazing thing about homeschooling is we do have so much flexibility.
Yeah.
That, you know, really, I have seen kids decide, oh, I am behind. I've accomplished practically nothing this year, but I want to finish on time and suck it up and finish on time.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing what they can do because we have the flexibility of they can get up earlier, they can stay up later. They can mm-hmm. work during times they would normally play. They can work harder or faster. They can concentrate more. They catch up so much easier.
And, you know, a lot of the structure of the classroom experience is we're going to aim for a little bit below the average so that nobody, you know, gets left in the dust. And that means that kids who catch the material early sit around waiting for the classmates to catch up. And so there's, you know, there is that sense of, You don't have to wait for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, if they get it, move ahead. You don't have to say, well, great, we finished up this week's lessons on Tuesday, then I guess we wait for 3 days before we start the next section. Not necessarily. You know, it just depends on if you need to make up that time. You can do that.
And so, you know, likewise, if you don't understand something, if you don't get it, we can spend the time we need to do it. One of my kids said, I just didn't understand this. I said, did you ask?
Mm.
You know, and so today he asked and he had no problem understanding it. You know, we give our older kids a lot of freedom in managing their schoolwork because I think they need to be adults.
Well, it really helps them out when they get to college.
Yes.
Because we have had all of ours have called us back and said, you know, my classmates are falling apart because they can't organize their own work. They can't keep track of their assignments. They don't understand a deadline or finishing a project or whatever. And so,
and usually by the time they got there, they have had the problem at least once
mm-hmm.
of goofing off and getting behind and having to pay the price.
And,
you know,
and
of losing their free time, of, mm-hmm. you know, having consequences to not managing their time well. And so by the time they get to college, they know, you know what? It's up to me. And if I don't do it, I'm going to pay a price.
You know what? There's some benefits to them stumbling while they're at home.
There's some huge benefits.
There's huge benefits to letting your kids have enough freedom that they make non-fatal errors. You know what I'm talking about.
But like, pretty big errors.
Big enough that fixing them smarts a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, eventually we do have problems. Life will present us with problems. And so having to work through problems before we're totally on our own, totally up to our own initiative and self-motivation and drive and encouragement and everything else. You know, when it happens back at home, that you say, hey, you know what, son? I gave you some freedom and you misused it. Now this is what happens next.
Right.
That means he's less likely to make the same mistake when he's a freshman off at college someplace.
Oh, so many kids. end up dropping out of college their first or second semester mm-hmm. because they have no idea how to manage. They have no idea how to catch up when they fall behind, how to avoid falling behind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't really understand the consequences of not managing your time.
Well, and also what you just mentioned there, the fact that if you have a problem, if you get behind, if you don't understand, go to your teacher and say, Mama or Professor Smith. Dr. Snodgrass or whatever, I don't understand. What can I do? And, you know, get help. Recognize when you're in the ditch and get help and get back out. I mean, that's an important lesson, even if you are, you know, a sophomore in high school. So, yeah. So, you know, if you find yourself in that kind of situation, which this time of year, of course you do, that's fine. Embrace that as a learning opportunity as well. You know, it's not just academics, right? It's life management. And so
it is. And so even, let's say, worst case.
Okay.
They bring you the list, you look at it, and you realize, you know what, this whole last semester was pretty much a waste. We yeah. didn't accomplish near what we needed to. It was a waste. You know what? Don't dwell there. Don't get bogged down. It's amazing how fast you can catch up homeschooling your kids.
Yeah.
It's amazing what can happen when you buckle down. But what they're going to need is, first of all, they're going to need hope. And that's really hard when you're feeling like a failure to give your kids hope. So let us give you some hope. You know what? You can do this. You can take a completely failed first half of the year and still be totally ready to go and caught up by the beginning of the next year. Mm-hmm. Even without killing yourself, because let's look at it, okay? If you take 9 months of school,
yeah,
it's January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August.
September is...
There's September's 8 months away.
Yeah, you can do this. You can figure this out. You know, and, you know, we had one a couple of years ago who, in one particular subject, he had stumbled on something and didn't ask questions, and we were distracted with other issues and problems. And so, basically, the wheels fell off in one subject back early in the year, and he never got out of it. Well, when this came to light pretty late in the game, we said, okay, son, if you want to finish by date, you know, this date at the start of the new season, the start of the new school year, then you're going to have to do this many lessons per day. Yes, during the summer. Yes, while we're on vacation. Yes, while we're traveling to go to this conference or whatever. But, you know, that was the only subject he was behind in. And so, So it was kind of a summer project for him. And you know what? Buckled down and he did it. I was amazed and very pleased with him.
Well, that's what I want to encourage people, Hal. We have had kids blow this.
Uh-huh.
We have had high schoolers blow this and get behind and they're drowning. And we were drowning in other things, you know, like when you had cancer, you know, it was so hard. Mm-hmm. And I didn't catch it in time. You know, I trusted them to keep up with it and find out, okay, this kid is basically failing.
Yeah, in fact, that timetable was such that I got my cancer diagnosis just before Christmas and started chemotherapy in January. And so, wow, everything was bad in January. And yet, going through that experience and him realizing finally that, hey, this isn't a fight between me and Mom. This isn't playing a game of tag or something. This is preparing for my own life, and I want to be prepared.
Yeah.
I mean, he buckled down and he learned so much and worked through so many things on his own. It was incredible. And it was a great experience for him. You know, it was a growing up experience, not just an academic success.
And so the encouragement is that you can pick up after a disastrous first semester.
Yep.
And you can go from here. And by the beginning of next year, you can be caught up. And that's true whether your kids are little or whether they're older. So don't worry. There's hope. You give your kids hope. There's plenty of flexibility. The important thing is that you're able to start out and do it. And you can't start it if you're mired in misery.
And you've got, and everything is in the rearview mirror to you.
Yeah.
If you're trying to pick through all the wreckage of what's already happened and can't be changed at this point, then Yeah, there is a time to just to shovel the dirt on it and let's move to the next thing. Well, I'll tell you what, it looks like it's time to talk about some other things for just about a minute here.
Okay. I would like to encourage people to head over to our site, because that's the kind of thing that supports us doing this ministry, is sales on our site. We've got so many great resources. If you're feeling discouraged about this new year, let me give you some resources that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, our book, Raising Real Men. Because if you've got a boy, that's going to give you some help.
Wow. And if you were going to have trouble with your preteen son, it was going to come up over the Christmas holidays.
Yep.
With all the missed hours of sleep and sugar and
yes.
all the other kind of stuff. Anything that was about to develop, you have now experienced it. And so we'd encourage you to come check out RaisingRealMen.com and check out the book by the same title. But you know what? We have
three separate online classes
mm-hmm.
for different ages of children that will help you to figure out how to cope with them and what they're going through emotionally and developmentally. Mm-hmm. How to help them through the challenges of that age and how to handle their school.
Mm-hmm.
For parents of boys about 9 and under,
yeah,
boyhood boot camp. That will give you the basics of how are boys different from girls? How should schooling boys be different from schooling girls?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about media and how much screen time do you give them?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you discipline them?
Now, that's if you've got sons under about 9 years old or so, and you just really need to get a handle on, well, what in the world is going on in this little young male mind?
But then they hit those preteen years and you think,
oh my,
what is wrong with you? Are you possessed by an alien or something? What is going on? They get angry and they get sad for no reason and they lose their minds and they can't focus, and you tell them to do something.
Yes.
And they can't remember it long enough to get out of the room. I mean, I've got one going through it right now and it's hilarious.
Well, it's hilarious, but it's exasperating and it's frustrating for everybody. And you know what? It's perfectly normal, but how do you manage all of this? Well, that's why we put together our program, which we call Boot Camp 9-12. Boot Camp 9-12, which is really for parents with preteen sons, because a long time before their voices break, before that first proud whisker appears, their brains are changing, their emotions are in turmoil, there's so much stuff that's happening before you see the externals. And that's what we want to help you to understand, because if you can navigate these years, these early years of pre-adolescence and early adolescence, you're laying a foundation for a relationship like you would not believe when they're teenagers.
Yeah, one way or the other.
Well,
good or bad.
Good or bad.
And if you have a teen and you're thinking, my goodness, I'm scared to death, times are changing,
mm-hmm.
got to figure out what to do about high school, what do we do about college? Pre-Flight is our online class for parents and teens together
mm-hmm.
to look through the stuff, work it out, help prepare them for adulthood.
Well, it's just like a pilot. Before he gets in an aircraft, he goes through a pre-flight checklist to make sure, have I verified everything is in working order? Have I gone through and made sure that I've checked and inspected and corrected anything that was wrong and made up any deficiency? Well, guess what? That's what this is meant to be. This is meant to be a help for you developing your own pre-flight checklist before you launch those eagles out of your nest.
So go to RaisingRealMen.com/shop, scroll down to online classes, and this is going to bless you. Go check it out, get help. Let's talk about, okay, practicality.
Yep.
What do we do? There's a bunch of different things you can do to actually get started. Some
mm-hmm.
of my friends start out on Monday, the day they decide to start,
mm-hmm.
like a boot camp. They're going to do it all and do it all perfectly that day.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of scares me. I just feel too overwhelmed to do it.
Well, you know, some people really do thrive on the tightly scheduled sort of life. Never been our forte, but some people really do love it. Oh, I can't. Man, this is great. I was out running the streets at 6 a.m., and I feel so good for doing it. Well, okay, if that's your family's lifestyle, then by all means, jump in with both feet. Or you can kind of take a more relaxed approach, maybe transition into it.
Well, that's kind of what I do. What we did today, today was our first official day of school. We took this as an assessment day. Let's figure out where we stand. Let's make some plans for the future. Let's decide what we're going to do next. I just totally chucked one of our children's curriculums and we're starting with something new in that subject. You know, today was our assessment day. We kind of got our head in the game today. And then for my older kids, I'm going to ask them to plan out the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. And they're going to plan what they're going to do the rest of the week. I'm going to plan what the younger ones are going to do. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to start out on, actually, we're taking a day off tomorrow for personal reasons. But mm-hmm. on Wednesday, we're going to start out with a short week. It's more doable. Mm-hmm. We're going to make sure we at least get the basics done. I'm going to try to plan at least a couple of fun activities to remind them that learning's fun.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you feel like, you know, things aren't going well and you haven't succeeded very well, you got to remember that this is really a good thing. One mm-hmm. of my children was so discouraged today, and I had to say, you know what? You're going to love this when you get into it. Let me tell you a few things about it mm-hmm. and kind of build them up, get them excited about it. So, you know, let's do that. Let's plan, start with a doable chunk, and for us, that eases us into it. Now, but one thing I think it's important to talk about in addition to school mm-hmm. is this is a good time to rethink some of the other things.
Like what?
Like the house and chores and stuff. You know, this is a good time to say, okay, what is working well and what isn't working well in the way that we're just handling the way the house flows. Are we getting up enough, early enough in the morning? This is a good time to make a change.
There's value to turning over a new leaf, as they say, even if you don't say, we're going to have a formal resolution. But to just say, hey, you got to start sometime. And now is as good a time as any, maybe better than others. And so, you know, you're not going to make changes until you start making changes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a reasonable thing to say, hey, since new year, new month, new term, however you want to think about it, why don't we try to do some things better? I mean, we all know what we need to do better, right? I mean, there's nobody's getting a great discovery on this. We all know there's things that we wish we had done differently. Well, maybe we need to start. And, you know, a side note on that, and this is not meant to be a New Year's show exactly, but an interesting thought is, you know, we come up with these great intentions early on January 1st or whatever, and most people don't make it out through the month with their list of resolutions. And there's a tendency sometimes to say, well, I've blown it now, so I'm just going to throw the whole thing away. But, you know, one of the things that I heard from a respected spiritual leader, he said, you know what? Most of life is just starting over, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, hey, you've got a resolution on January 1st, great. If you need to start it again on February 1st, great.
If you need to start again on January 3rd.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I've really struggled with a lot.
Yeah.
Is I feel like, well, I failed. There's no point. I tend to be a perfectionist, mm-hmm. but especially with family life and with children, we cannot do that or we will never get anything done.
So we would encourage on that as you start off your new school term, however you want to define it, still to think, okay, we're going to start things differently. And if they fall by the wayside and it's just because we didn't execute it well, then we'll start it again. And we'll just keep starting it again until we make a habit out of it. And so, that's a reasonable way to approach this. And it's an encouraging way, too, when you do that, to say it's not an all or nothing game. It's a life experience. It's a growing process. It's organic. We are all sinners. We all fall short. Oh, well, there we go. Falling short again. That shouldn't surprise anybody. Now, what do we do about it?
Yeah.
And so we'd encourage you to do that, you know, not to get too locked up in your failure, but to say, okay, our God is a God of grace and there's forgiveness available. And he tells us to forgive one another, even 70 times seven. Is what more could he say about starting over again?
Yes.
You know?
Well, you know, we serve the Lord who restores the years the locusts have eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that again and again. He's been so gracious to us, Hal, to overlook our failures, to forgive us of our sins, to stand in the gap for us and restore, you know, the things that we have failed at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been amazing to see the success our kids have had. You know, after they've left our home, when they've gone to college, when they've gotten out in their careers, even though, you know what, I felt like a failure for most of their education.
In spite of feeling disappointed on, well, I had intentions to do this or another thing and it didn't happen. And guess what? You know what?
Yeah.
God brought about what they needed. You know, whether it was an opportunity, whether it was a particular subject, whether it was, you know, guidance to a particular college or major. I mean, all of those things, God works these things through. You know, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It's not necessarily that a man be found successful, because the success comes from God.
Amen. You know, Boy, isn't that the truth?
We work hard because we want to be diligent. We want to be faithful stewards.
We plant and water and weed, but it's God that gives the increase.
God gives the increase, and that's true in your school. That's true in your family life as well. And so if it succeeds, we praise God. If it doesn't succeed, we say, well, we're fallen sinners, but God will help us through anyway.
You know, a couple of things that have helped is I find that when we're not doing well, we need more accountability.
Right.
You know, if a child is struggling to make it through a lesson, they need to sit beside me. If they're doing pretty good, but they get distracted over the course of a day, then I need to check in daily. Mm-hmm. You know, an older child, a weekly check-in may be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when they start dropping the ball, then we move back to daily.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, you know, we increased accountability helps.
Yeah.
And, you know, the most important thing, really, how I have found.
What?
Is my attitude.
Your attitude.
About everything.
As mom or as teacher mom, or as
teacher.
What? Okay.
I have found that when I feel like it's drudgery and I let the kids see that they're going to see it as drudgery too, and there's going to be a lot of pushback.
Mm.
And if I have a good attitude, I mean, and sometimes I have to just make myself.
Yeah.
But if they come to me and I say, oh, I can't believe you need help with this.
Yeah.
That doesn't make them want to come back and ask for help.
No.
If instead I say, hey, look at this. It's easier than you think. Uh-huh. Let me show you how this is used. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Then they get encouraged and they want to come back.
You know, and you don't have to have a degree in a subject to know a whole lot more about how it applies to the real world.
Yeah.
And you can open up their eyes to things that they can't connect it up, especially if they're confused and they're worried about their confusion. That tends to block their minds, you know. And for you to sit down and say, no, don't you understand, you know, give them an example that shows how this math principle works out. You know, this is, oh, that's easy. Area, that's just like trying to figure out how much carpet to buy. You're just trying to figure out how much wallpaper goes on this wall when there's a window in the middle of it or something like that. You know, and give them a concrete example to show them that, hey, this has application in your real life. And that's, you know, that's an important thing, too. You know, I think about my college experience. I feel like a lot of the difficulty or disappointment I had in my college experience was that so much of it was theoretical, that I didn't have enough lab courses to really tie it down to a reality. And I felt like I didn't really understand the concepts until I'd been working in industry for some time and actually had used it. And it's really important, I think, to give your kids some concrete use of things like fractions, like basic geometry, like algebra. Because you know what? You use algebraic principles all the time. Even if you're never going to teach or go through calculus, you use algebraic ideas every single day without even thinking about it. And, you know, if you can say, oh, this is just, I'm just multiplying these fractions to make a recipe work out, or to make sure that I've blended these household chemicals the right way or whatever. That is practical everyday use, and you need that. That's why you need these basic concepts. Yeah. So it's good to find those kind of illustrations, kind of, you know, how would you use it yourself, and show it to your kids. Give them a chance to use it. And you know what? Writing. That's another thing. A lot of people say, I mean, I'm not a writer. You know what? I love it when somebody gives me an assignment like, would you please write me directions to go from this place to someplace else? Tell me the best way you can tell me to, you know, what turns to make, what landmarks to watch for, you know, what speed I need to, or whatever. Give me directions. You know, make it something that's real. Or like, hey, here, I have a topic for you. And I want you to write me a paragraph or write me a one-page summary of it for somebody who doesn't understand it and is not especially interested in it. Can you make it sound interesting?
Yeah.
Can you make it compelling enough that a person would read past the first sentence? You know, to give them a little goal there and put a little bit of a shine on it like that. So, anyway.
Get some hope for yourself.
Get hope for yourself.
Give your kids hope.
keep your spirits up and be sure that you transmit that to your children.
Yes.
Because they're struggling with it just the same as you are.
Oh, yes. Give hope to your kids and play the ball where it lies. You've got a new year, a new start. You've got plenty of flexibility. You can pull it out. You can get it out of the rough and bring that ball home.
You know, before we go, I got a couple more resources I want to point out for people. Come out to our website, raisingrealmen.com/shop, and look under the workshops. There are some really good nuts and bolts things for problems you may be dealing with. Like, for example, you've got family issues, you've got emergencies, you're going through hard times, whether they're financial or health related or whatever. We have a workshop called Homeschooling Through Hard Times that is practical, it's encouraging, it's biblical. You'll love it. You ought to come check that out.
Also, Homeschooling a Houseful has a lot of practical information about how do you balance the needs of older kids and younger kids and the house and your husband and everything and get it all done.
Maybe you've got a kid with some special needs and you're really struggling on some basic stuff like teaching them how to read. We got a fantastic workshop that was you and one of our sons who's dyslexic about surviving this struggle of learning how to read in particular. Yes. You know, this is a great encouragement, the practical things that he was able to share as one who had lived through it himself. This was important to me. This is what my family did that helped me so much. Wow, encouraging stuff. I tell you what, come out to that website, raisingrealmen.com/shop, and look down for the workshop section. These, you can download these for just a few dollars a piece. And if you see a bunch of them that look helpful, we have a whole collection of over 30 workshops, over 30 hours of encouragement and practical help and biblical counsel on a single jump drive that you can order from the same location. So please, come on out and check that out. Look, enough of advertisement stuff. We just think you'll be encouraged. But we're encouraged that you're listening, and we hope you'll come back again because every week we want to help you make biblical family life a practical reality in your home. So until then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.